from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I think it's fair to say that there are many voices in this world that we cannot and should not trust or listen to. These voices claim to speak the truth, and they are often quite convincing in what they say, but ultimately they are voices that are seeking to deceive us, confuse us, and mislead us. They are voices whose one aim and goal is to lead us into untruth or into some reality of their own making. And these voices come at us from all different directions. They come at us from the television, they come at us from the internet, they come at us from social media, they come at us from books and magazines and podcasts, and they come at us from friends and family members who have imbibed untruths and are now bound and determined to try to convince us that the untruths are true. So it's sometimes hard to know whose voices to trust, and it feels that that is becoming ever more a challenging problem in the world that we live in. This morning's gospel lesson gives us an answer to that problem, though. There is one voice that we can and should trust, and that one voice is the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' voice is the only voice that truly matters, because he is the only one who truly tells the truth. After all, he is truth itself. As he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." So he is the truth itself. And that means that all other voices in this world have to ultimately be subordinated to his voice. They have to be heard through the lens of his voice. But let's back up and take a look at our text to get a fuller picture of this. John tells us that Jesus has just declared himself to be the good shepherd in the little portion right before our gospel lesson opens today. And he has promised that his sheep listen to his voice and that he has come to lay down his life for his sheep. He has come to lay down his life for them, to give his life as an atoning sacrifice for them. Of course, this doesn't sit well with the religious leaders of Israel, because what they rightly hear in Jesus' words is a claim of his being God. The reason for this is that in the Old Testament, God frequently refers to himself as the shepherd of his people. We just heard that this morning in Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd," right? And elsewhere, he says the same thing. He is the one true shepherd. And so now Jesus is here laying claim to being the shepherd. And by laying claim to that title, Jesus is thus claiming to be God himself. So they start to say, well, he's out of his mind. He's a lunatic. Or they say he's demon-possessed. He's operating by some demonic power, not by the power of God. And so this is where our gospel lesson starts today. John tells us that it's the festival of the dedication, which is another phrase for Hanukkah. So it's Hanukkah. And in order for us to fully appreciate all that's going on in this text, we do need to know a little bit about the background of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is not one of the three major feasts that the Jewish people were commanded to keep in the Old Testament. That those were Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Booths. Where Hanukkah comes from is some events that occurred during the time between the Old Testament and the New Testament that are captured in the Apocrypha. These are the books that we have that sit between the Old Testament and the New Testament in some of our Bibles. They are not scripture. They are we say this in the 39 articles, that we don't put them on the same level as the Old Testament and the New Testament. But they are helpful books for us. They show us patterns of life that are good, and they also give us some history of that time between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so the events of Hanukkah are actually recorded in 1st and 2nd Maccabees in the Apocrypha. What we hear there is that about 200 years before Jesus lived, so sometime in the 160s, a man named Antiochus Epiphanes, who was the ruler of the Seleucid Empire, which had taken over from Alexander the Great and his Greek Empire. Antiochus Epiphanes had come in and had conquered Israel and was the overlord of Israel. And he tried to force the Jewish people to embrace Greek culture. And the way that he did this was by instituting a bunch of anti-Jewish policies. So he made sure that circumcision was prohibited, and circumcision is a big part of the Jewish religion. It's a mark of your place in the covenant of Abraham. He did away with circumcision. He did away with Sabbath observance. No longer could the Jews observe the Sabbath as they had been commanded. And he gathered up and burnt all the books of the Torah. That is the first five books of the Old Testament, the books of Moses. And then, to make matters far worse, he and his forces entered the temple. They sacrificed a pig on the altar because pigs were unclean animals and were not permitted to be killed in the Jewish religion. And so he sacrificed the pig on the altar, which is, by the way, the abomination that causes desolation in the book of Daniel. That's what Daniel is foreseeing and pointing to. And he forced the Jewish people to sacrifice to the pagan gods. So Antiochus Epiphanes was determined to take this people down. So under the leadership of a man named Maccabeus, a group of Jewish men revolted, and they drove the forces of Antiochus Epiphanes out of the temple. And they then purified the temple. They cleansed the temple of all the things that had desecrated it during that time. And they celebrated the victory of God, the victory that God had granted to them, with a festival that lasted 8 days. This means that Hanukkah is a festival that celebrates the purification of the temple, the cleansing of the temple. All that does not belong to God is cast out, and what does belong to God is kept and purified. This influences how we hear Jesus' words in this morning's gospel lesson. What John tells us is that the religious leaders approach Jesus during Hanukkah and say to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." But Jesus tells them that he has told them. He has made his identity known to them, and they don't believe. They don't trust him. They don't see that the works that he is doing are the works of the Messiah, the works that the Old Testament had promised the Messiah would do, and they refuse to listen to his voice. Instead, they say that he's crazy, he's a lunatic, and that he's demon-possessed. And then he gives them the reason why. "You do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep." Their lack of faith in him indicates that they do not belong to him. They are not a part of his sheepfold. They're not trusting in him. Now, one thing that is being worked all throughout John's gospel is the picture that Jesus is the true temple. John starts this off right away in the first chapter of the Gospel according to John. John says that Jesus came and tabernacled among them. He dwelled among them. The temple, you see, is simply the place where God's presence is, where they can go and offer sacrifices and hear God's word. It's the place where God resides. What we're told about Jesus is that he is the place where God dwells. He is the place where God is residing for his people. And so consequently, in keeping with the Hanukkah theme, Jesus is actually fulfilling Hanukkah here by purifying his flock. He's cleaning house, we might say, saying who belongs to his flock and who doesn't belong to his flock. The religious leaders, those who are saying he's a lunatic and demon-possessed, don't belong to his flock. They're not a part of him. They don't trust him. On the other hand, Jesus says, "My sheep are those who hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Jesus' sheep hear his voice, which means that they trust what he says to them. When he promises them things, they trust those promises that he has made to them. They recognize that he alone is the truth teller. And he knows them, he says. Now, to know someone means that you are in intimate union with them. This was captured in older translations of the Bible in particular, when you heard Adam knew his wife and she begat, right? She gave birth to a son. Know in that biblical language means that you are intimately connected to a person. And so Jesus says that his sheep are intimately connected to him. He has joined them to himself, and they follow him. They go where he leads. They listen to what he says. Then Jesus sets about making some wonderful promises to his sheep. He says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands. Notice that. I give them eternal life. Eternal life is not something to be earned. Eternal life is a gift given to us. It is grace. God giving us what we don't rightly deserve because he loves us, because he wants us to have it, because God can't help but share the bounty of his wealth with us. So it is an act of grace, and Jesus promises that he has given his sheep that grace, and Jesus promises that his sheep will not ultimately die. They will not die the death of condemnation to sin. That is the ultimate death. Why? Because as the good shepherd, he has laid down his life for his sheep. He has given his life up so that his sheep might be rescued from sin and from death and from the power of the evil one. And because this is exactly what Jesus has done, and that's what this whole season we're in of Easter is all about. It's all about looking at Good Friday, at Jesus laying his life down for us, and on Easter Day of Jesus rising from the grave for us. Because Jesus has done that, he can make the promise that no one and nothing can ever snatch his sheep out of his hand. In fact, no one can snatch Jesus' sheep out of his hand, and no one can snatch the sheep out of God the Father's hand either, because the sheep are the most important thing to Jesus and the Father. They are greater than all else, Jesus said in our text this morning. You, my friends, are greater to God than all else. You matter the most to him. And Jesus and the Father are one in purpose, mind, and mission. That's what Jesus means when he says that the Father and I are one. Not that they're the same person. That's a heresy. Not that they're the same person, but that they are the same in purpose, mind, and will. There's no disagreement between the Father and Son. You're not going to find a quarrel within the Godhead. They agree. Well, what does all of this mean for you? Well, first of all, you, my friends, are the sheep of Jesus' sheepfold. That's the promise that Jesus made to you on the day that you were baptized, that you belong to the sheepfold of God. And that means that he has set about to work faith in your hearts. He has set about to bring you to a place of trusting in him and in his goodness and in his grace and in the promises that he has made to you. And he has worked that faith in your hearts by his gospel and by the Holy Spirit so that you would listen to his voice, so that you would trust him, so that you would embrace the promises that he made to you. And as he has made you part of his sheepfold, he's also made you some wonderful promises. You have eternal life as a free gift from Jesus to you through his death and resurrection. He has given it to you. It's a gift. You will never perish. Death will not get the last word on your life. Why? Because you are joined to Jesus, and that means Jesus gets the last word on your life. And that means the last word on your life will be resurrection from the dead and a place in the new creation. And no one will snatch you out of God's hand or Jesus' hand. That's the promise he makes. Do you hear that? God the Father has you. Jesus has you firmly, securely in his hand. And they will not let you go. And nothing can take you away from them. Not illnesses, not your failures in life, not environmental catastrophes, not politics or wars, and not even death itself. Nothing can take you out of Jesus' hand. Nothing can take you out of God the Father's hand. You belong to them. God wants all of you to rest securely in that promise and to have assurance that this is true. After all, the voice of Jesus Christ has spoken these words, and Jesus is the only one who is completely truthful in all that he says in a world that is very often filled with untruthful, unhelpful voices. So listen to him and believe him. He is your good shepherd after all. Amen. Amen.